Good evening, fight fans. You are listening to the Rattlegion Broadcasting Network alternative commentary for Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell for the interim WBC lightweight title, brought to you by DAZN, which, as we all know, rhymes with calzone. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattlegion. Joining me in the co-host pilot chair tonight, the host of Damn You Hollywood and the 411 MMA Zone coverage god, also bringing you live SmackDown results and driving away traffic in droves, ladies and gentlemen.
No idea how much traffic I have cost that site. I'm so happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, he'll drive traffic away from you if you let him. Robert Winfrey, how do you do, sir?
I prefer to think of it as driving other people into traffic. Yeah, that's what I do. I have been reminded that you can't please wrestling fans, mm-hmm. So that's just kind of where I was very complimentary of the Christmas show for SmackDown. I think I gave it an 8. A lot of quality wrestling. I was moderately okay with this last episode. Not great, but moderately okay. I think I went 7. This interrupts a string of like 5s, by the way.
Listen, I don't know if you ever listened. I don't know if you ever.
I was too harsh. Mm-hmm. When it's a 7, how can you say that about a show where you didn't rate a single match more than 2.5 stars? And I want to put my head through a wall.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever listened to me and the Podsman talk about the WWE, but I think I have said on at least more than one occasion, I watch the WWE because I like talking to the two of them about wrestling. It's certainly not because I like the WWE these days. It is a chore. I don't even watch Raw anymore.
Nobody does.
As I said on the TLC review, when I have run out of everything else to watch and have nothing else to do, but I want to watch TV, then I will watch SmackDown unless I hear about something specific that I'm interested in. But we are here to talk about boxing tonight. Ryan Garcia comes into this fight with a spotless 20-0 record with 17 knockouts. I'll get it right eventually. Zero losses. He is taking on Luke Campbell, who is a former Olympic competitor.
Gold medalist.
Who comes in with 20 wins and 3 losses. And you and I were talking before the show started tonight that this is a step up in competition for Ryan Garcia. So what kind of challenge does Luke Campbell present for Ryan Garcia?
Well, Campbell's a bit of an awkward southpaw, and until you fought an awkward southpaw, there's always going to be that question mark. Campbell might also not have quite panned out at the super elite level in boxing, but again, only 3 losses. One of those, two of those, the most recent two, he lost a split decision to Jorge Linares, a champion, a legitimate world champion. And you could argue maybe he should have won that. I tend to favor Linares. Again, there's an argument there. I don't necessarily agree with it, but there is a case to be made. And then dropping a clear unanimous decision to Vasily Lomachenko in his most recent fight. So when those are 2 of your 3 losses, and those are the only losses you have as a professional, and it's to those guys, you know, a lot of people lose to those guys.
Yeah.
So he may not pan out, has not quite panned out, and he's, you know, 33, he's been boxing for a long time. It's kind of pretty clearly not going to happen for him at the international world level at this point. Although if he does pull off an impressive performance here, he might be able to turn that around, but time is not on his side. By contrast, you have Ryan Garcia, who is 22 with 50 million Instagram followers, and is probably the only guy in boxing right now whose fan base actually skews to a younger demographic instead of older. A lot of people want to be behind Garcia. They want him to be a big thing, so he's intermittently protected, and this does represent the first significant step up in competition the man has had to deal with. So we'll see how he does.
Earlier in the evening, Sean Garcia won a majority decision over Rene Marquez. Raul Kiriel had a second-round TKO over Ramses Agatone. Felix Alvarado had a 10-round TKO over DJ Creel. Roger Gutierrez won a unanimous decision over Rene Alvarado. And
Gutierrez Alvarado fight, darn good fight. Not a barn burner start to finish, but that fight went down to the final round and a singular knockdown being the entire difference maker in the scoring.
Okay, the fighters have entered the ring, and we're going to go ahead and get started calling the action for you in 3, 2, 1. So this is the first official fight of 2021. How do you feel about it?
Well, there have been other fights.
In 2021?
This is the first main event, especially for Golden Boy.
Like, it's the second day of January.
Mark, Japan exists.
You know, I was going to... Okay, but that was also on New Year's Eve. That wasn't, you know, in 2021. That was December 31st of 2020. I was actually going to ask you if you watched the fight from Japan. That apparently was available everywhere but the United States, unless you sailed the high seas, Yar. Or you wanted to pay for some sort of Japanese pay-per-view service.
I have not been able to catch that full fight yet, but it was a very good fight on paper, so, and I haven't heard anything horribly negative about it yet, so I will look it up at some point in the future when it becomes more readily available.
I'm really surprised that ESPN didn't pick that up for ESPN Plus. Like, I don't know what all would have had to have gone into it, but it feels like easy content to grab when they are, in fact, grabbing fights from all over the world at any given time that aren't necessarily top-ranked promotions, so why the hell not?
It's a little bit of a head-scratcher for me as well. I think they easily could have, but I'm not a decision-maker at ESPN, so who knows?
All right, so what do you expect to see out of Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell here? What's the strategy for Ryan Garcia to maybe put this away early?
Well, he's gone to the 10-round distance, I think, a couple of times. But he's not much of a distance fighter. He really tries to get people out of there quickly. His primary benefits being fast hands and good punching power. And to be fair to Garcia, he has a lot of critics, some of which is well-deserved. But those two attributes will carry you a long way, especially when he's 22, I believe. So you can get a long way with punching power and fast hands when you're very young.
All right, we are into round one here, and as with most fights, very rarely in boxing do people come storming out of the gates and immediately get in the phone booth. Bit of a feeling out period. Ryan Garcia
is giving up outside foot position already voluntarily. That's not a good thing.
Garcia pushes Luke Campbell back into the corner, but Campbell fighting in the corner just fine. He's not letting himself get boxed in necessarily. I think he is trying to find an opening on Garcia just from where he is, and Garcia is not exactly pressing him against the corner or the ropes or anything like that.
No, Garcia's content to just kind of try and box him in, but neither man is going to do anything too crazy. Jeez. Garcia's left hook, while fast and powerful, is ugly. And it is telegraphed. He's going to throw it again. It's kind of his money punch, so you'll see a lot of it. But he really leans back and reaches back with that thing. Youthful energy starts dissipating, that's a telegraphed punch. People can counter that without too much difficulty. And that said, if it lands, it does a lot of damage.
Garcia just went to the body pretty well. Campbell had gone to the body previously earlier in the round. Garcia returned the favor. Looks like he scored a pretty good hit in the breadbasket.
Campbell, yeah, Campbell does throw a lot of lefts to the body. Well, he will be in this fight at least. I think his game plan is almost certainly going to be some kind of extended one. He wants to take this long, get some of the blood to build up in Garcia's shoulders, test his wind, test his arms, test his legs, and drag the younger man into deeper water and drown him there. He's not going to go crazy early. He's going to invest in the body and just kind of play smart defense. He's probably going to bleed some early rounds. He's not winning this round at the moment. Not that he's doing, horribly, but Garcia's volume and just kind of general pace are carrying the round for him. I don't think that's a terribly controversial sentiment.
As the round winds down the last 30 seconds here, again, Garcia playing it slow, playing it cagey. He's working. Yeah, that left hook really comes from left field. And there he is. Check left hook there from Luke Campbell, making Garcia think about what he's throwing and maybe not throwing it, like my son.
The other problem with Garcia's left hook, his right hand drops when he throws it. Not every time, but it is a more often than not kind of bad habit for him.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's so young to have all these bad habits, and to try to compete at an elite level. I mean, you have to wonder if he wins here, if they'll match him up with newly promoted regular WBC lightweight champion Devin Haney.
Theoretically, the winner of this fight would be the mandatory for Devin Haney's title. Now, they could be given go-away money. The winner of this fight might want to fight someone with... I tend to think Garcia... I don't know. I'm torn on Garcia because if he's smart and his management team is smart, and thus far they have been, Haney represents the most beatable guy at this weight class. The other options for potential championship fights being Teofimo Lopez, Gervonta Davis, guys who would probably put him out in there in a body bag.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think at this stage of the game you want to put him, especially with Teofimo Lopez. I mean, you want to, if you're trying to build up Ryan Garcia, you don't immediately feed him to one of the Lions.
Yeah, so again, if he's being booked smartly, Haney represents a world title that still would be a difficult challenge for him. Devin Haney gets overlooked a whole lot. Again, when you're talking about other guys in the same, if you're in the same weight class as guys like Lomachenko, Lopez, Linares, Gervonta Davis, you're going to wind up being a little bit overlooked, but Haney is a very, very legitimate talent.
We are in round two, and yeah, Garcia's still trying to find a home for that hook.
His right hand is not terribly useful. It's certainly a good punch, but he flares his elbow a lot. Mostly what his right does is try to set up his left hook, which he goes to, constantly would almost be an understatement.
So he beat up Luke Campbell there on the ropes. He threw some power shots. Campbell was able to circle out of it, but he got very aggressive there in that moment.
He's still giving up outside foot position. I mean, every time he goes into close distance, he's voluntarily going to the inside, which opens up the power punching lane for when your opposite stance is like this, you want to have your foot on the outside because it makes your like that.
And Luke Campbell knocks him down, and we have the first knockdown of the fight in the second round, and things are not looking good for the A side of this card, Ryan Garcia.
That is, I believe, the first knockdown of Garcia's career. But as you can see, the outside foot position there played a role. Garcia gave it up. That opens up a straighter punching lane for the power hand of when you're in opposite stances. And Campbell sat him down with that. That's not a flash knockdown. That was a very legitimate knockdown. To Garcia's credit, doesn't seem to be overly rattled. He's clearly still kind of regaining himself. But Sanders isn't going crazy going after him. And Garcia is not... he's not shrinking. So, kudos to that. A lot of people would. The first time you get hit hard and knocked down, some people never quite get their faculties back. Nice left to the body there from Garcia. Dangerous punch in the opposite stances to dig like that, but a valuable tool if you can make it work.
I wish Luke Campbell would throw would have some... a bit more dynamism in his punching. He tends to kind of step an arm punch, you know what I mean? you know, he's sticking the jab out there. He's not really throwing it.
And his jab is quite good, historically speaking. Campbell has a very good jab.
Well, I can only speak to what I'm seeing in front of me.
No. I get it. He's... Yeah, for a round that he's won it 10-8 after the knockdown, Campbell, I think, might almost be too relaxed. You know, he wants this fight to go long, which I think is a good general idea. If you're not a big power puncher, to kind of try and fight Garcia in the fire like that, extend him long. You know, make him tired, make him work, make him doubt himself. It's a solid idea, but you also do kind of have to find the opportunities in front of you. And Campbell seems almost a little bit too sedate. He had an opportunity there as we get a replay of this. Yep. Garcia extends the right hand, does not move his head, and down he goes.
And for Ryan Garcia, psychologically, that's gotta mess with your head. You know, you're on a big stage, you're headlining a DAZN card. You're the first mainstream fight in America for the year, and you're knocked down in the second round, you know, in your big step up. That's going to weigh on him, I think, as the, you know, we'll see if he can pull it together and get past it, but that's got to weigh on him going forward.
Yeah, so we would be 19-18 for Campbell after two. Both men go into the body again. They're sending that power hand into the midsection. Neither man doing a lot to block it. It's not a good sign for either of them, to be quite honest. And Garcia's still giving up that foot position. Anytime we get a wider shot, you can see it. When he steps in, he steps inside. He's actively taking away the punching lane for his right hand. Now, it does shorten up the distance for your left if you're throwing it, especially a jab, as he misses a hook, but follows up quite well. Campbell's falling a little bit behind just in terms of volume. Anytime Garcia goes, he goes for a decent combination, whereas Campbell's punches tend to be at most three at a time.
Excuse me. You can tell from Ryan's posture, he is, after being knocked down, he's trying to get Campbell out of there.
Yeah, well, this is his style normally, but yeah, he does seem to have a little bit more urgency even than usual. Boy, he does not move his head. Watch Garcia whenever he starts throwing a combination. His head is dead on the center line. That is a real problem for him.
And look, he just took a nasty shot there from Luke. And that's the thing, is that he's gearing up to try to throw a power shot. Like, there's no work anymore. He is trying to find an open lane and throw a series of punches. And Luke Campbell, for his part, not really giving him a lot of opportunities. And as a matter of fact, he's whacked Garcia a couple of times pretty good.
Yeah, Campbell is swinging that left. I wish he'd straighten it out a little bit. He's swinging it into the body a lot this round. He's trying to set up to the head again. Nice right from Garcia there as we get into the corner. Again, you can see it. When Garcia goes, Campbell is being defensively responsible in most ways, but he's going to fall behind a lot on the, just, again, on the numbers of what's coming out. See Campbell again just pawing with that lead hand. But he's timing his short right hand when Garcia tries to enter the pocket a lot better. He's clipped Garcia with that, and there's the left again.
Garcia backs Campbell into the ropes. Campbell takes a shot in the belly and then circles out.
Yeah, the combination work of Garcia is good. The man clearly knows how to hit a heavy bag, if nothing else. And when his opponent gives him the opportunity to do so, he goes to the body. I'm just not in love with the man's head position. He doesn't move it.
You're right, and he doesn't keep it on a swivel. He keeps it pretty stationary, and Campbell has it measured pretty good. Now, that's the thing. Now, if Campbell can get a few clean combinations on him, he might knock Ryan Garcia down again.
He very easily could, especially if he can get some timing. So, closer round, I actually do lean Garcia. The flurries, Campbell just kind of let that get away from him. So 28-28 after three. At least that's my read on the situation.
So if you're in Luke Campbell's corner right now and you can clearly see from Ryan Garcia that Ryan Garcia is trying to end the night early. What do you tell Luke Campbell at this point?
A couple of things. One, straighten out your left when you throw it, because looping it is not doing you any favors at this point. And make him move. Garcia is very flat on his feet. He likes to plant and generate power that way. Make him move. Let him keep punching. Keep your, you know, mind your P's and Q's defensively. Let him wear himself out a little bit. But also, when you do engage, if you're Campbell, neither of these men has been adept at firefighting thus far. Go for three or four punches instead of one or two, and see if you can, you know, get Garcia out of his rhythm. We see here we start the fourth. They're both just kind of probing with one or two at a time, and the only one who goes when they go is Garcia. That's really not doing Campbell any favors.
And Ryan Garcia very may well win this fight. He certainly might win it on points, but I don't know if, with the habits that he's showing, the tendencies, that if he doesn't need more seasoning before he takes on another big fight. I mean, he needs some more work in the gym, it looks like. Needs some more sparring,
in some
for certain.
Ooh. Yeah, low blow there.
Good left from Garcia. He takes two to the face in return. Luke Campbell likes that left to the body.
Again, he's trying to suck some of the wind out of Garcia, especially as far as this fight goes. You're dealing with a guy who's never been 12 rounds, who's gone 10 a couple of times, but never against high opposition, and certainly, again, those last 6 minutes, nice right from Garcia.
Well, then I'd like to see Luke maybe clinch up a bit more.
I'm with you there.
Make Garcia wear him for a few rounds, tire out his arms.
I agree with that. I'd also like to see Campbell punch with Garcia a little bit. Not a lot, because, again, you're kind of playing with some fire there. But if you let the guy just get off combinations, you're going to lose the round. You're going to lose points that way in a hurry. And especially if you're trying to take this fight long, you want to have some points in the bank. You don't want to entirely rely on your opponent completely gassing, especially down at the lower weight classes. Left there from Campbell. I mean, he's hitting the chest pretty well. Somewhat ironically, if Garcia had any head movement, ooh, nice left from Campbell there. If Garcia had head movement, he might be in more trouble because Campbell keeps punching him in the chest, which is where you aim against a fighter who has slick upper body movement. It's harder for them to get everything out of the way. The fact that Campbell hasn't either read that Garcia is not moving his head or his corner hasn't read that yet is a little bit troubling. Nice shift. Ooh, good move there from Campbell. Duck under the left, pivot, counter. Some pretty slick boxing out of Campbell here. And he is much, if nothing else, the footwork favors Campbell a lot. He's moving a lot better than Garcia is.
That's the end of the round for Garcia and Campbell.
I actually kind of favor Campbell there.
Yeah, I was going to say that round went to Campbell 10-9.
So we'd be back even, I think.
You had it 28-28.
Oh, I did. Right, so that would be Campbell. So 38-37 Campbell after four. So I'm not writing this down. I'm just doing it off the top of my head, so my apologies.
I got you.
So yeah, I actually would have Campbell up by a point at the moment. Kudos to Garcia because, he may have dropped that round, but after getting dropped for the first time, he rebounded well in the third, and he took some shots here in this round. Here's that nice move on replay from Campbell. Slip, left to the body. If Campbell keeps this mobile, that will favor him a lot as well now that we've seen some of this play out. Garcia not very light on his feet. Yeah, kind of wants you to be a stationary target for him.
I was going to say, you definitely don't want to sit there and get in the phone booth with Ryan Garcia. That's a recipe for disaster. Luke Campbell, the keys to victory here are to keep that jab up, keep moving.
Right.
If he's got the wind, if he can keep his foot on the gas, keep moving around the ring, stick that jab out there, occasionally clinch up, and drag Ryan Garcia kicking and screaming into deep waters, and I think you might win this one on points in a world where there's no Canelo-ing.
Well, Canelo is in the corner of Ryan Garcia.
Oh, no.
And Garcia is one of Oscar De La Hoya's golden boys. Yeah, we see that right from Campbell. He does have a good measure on Garcia when Garcia tries to lunge in. He keeps running into a really short right. And we see Garcia trying to open up.
Right to the body there from Campbell. See, now he's starting to punch with Garcia.
Yeah, well, now that we're into the fifth round, a little bit of the... Not only do you have a better feel for the timing, but you're not as worried about the pure explosion that Garcia represents. So you can be a little bit... as long as you don't get sloppy with it, you can go to the... You can punch with the man a little bit more. Campbell takes the low blow this time.
We have a brief admonishment from the referee, and we are back at it again.
Yeah, neither man took much time for their low blows, so they want to just keep fighting.
Oh, good combination there from Luke Campbell.
Yeah. Again, whoever happens to be going is... Jeez, Garcia. Garcia's defense... For a guy whose only defense is hand position, he gets baited into moving them around a whole lot.
He took... It's funny, you were talking about his looping hook before. He threw a hook that looked like it was like a sideways windmill. Like, it came from the third row.
He really... Oh, nice left from Campbell. Yeah, he really winds up and telegraphs that thing. He gets away with it in terms of either timing more inexperienced or less talented guys, but he is not doing a great job of setting... It's easy to read, especially after the first round or two, and better fighters are going to give him problems with that.
Well, that's to say, the unfortunate thing about that is Luke Campbell didn't use the opportunity...
Ooh, nice combo.
When he ducked under that hook to go for the body on Garcia, or even maybe throw an uppercut.
Garcia does seem to be turning into more of a...
Oh!
As this goes on. Yeah.
Oh, look at that. Now that's going to be... No, okay.
That's a real nice combo from Garcia right there at the end. Left hook into a right.
So I have
Campbell's
this,
hurt.
I saw this. Yeah, he got him good against the ropes, and I don't have the sound on, so I thought he turned away from Garcia, and I'm like, oh, that's a knockdown, and like, okay, no.
He technically turned around after the bell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't hear no bell. Was the issue there? But that's what I thought was happening at first. I thought he turned away from him, and I'm like, oh, that's not a good sign. But regardless...
He got his bell rung for sure. Yeah, that saved the round for Garcia, actually, but he was hurt bad there at the end.
No, absolutely.
So we'd be back to even.
So, yeah, it's not a knockdown, but it's not a good sign that he's turning away from... Yeah, look at that. he almost dove out of the ring there.
Yeah, we see the check left hook lands. That follow-up right did a lot more of the damage there, though. But yeah, by the time he turns around, that is after the bell is rung.
Hey, Ryan
Otherwise,
Garcia,
that would be a knockdown.
Ryan Garcia with a fistful of confidence now as he comes right at Luke Campbell. He smells blood in the water.
Yeah, he does not want to give him a chance to recover.
No.
But to Campbell's credit, tying up, making this a little bit, trying to buy himself some more time to get his legs back under him.
I'll tell you, so these British fighters may not win every fight, but they are tougher than leather.
Some of them, yeah.
They can take a beating, that's for certain.
And some Ryan of them are... Some of them, absolutely. Some of them are quite soft. Campbell jabbing the body.
Ryan...
He's firing back. He's trying to keep Garcia from pressing too hard.
Ryan Garcia looks like he's taking a couple of breaths here. Like, you know, he went a little roadhouse there at the beginning, and now he's taking in some deep breaths.
Well, as this fight has gone on, it seems like... Nice combo from Campbell. It seems like Garcia, once the fight kind of settles in or goes long, he becomes kind of a three flurries around kind of guy. And coming from Oscar De La Hoya's camp, that's not terribly surprising. Between De La Hoya and Sugar Ray Leonard both were kind of guilty of that. If the fight was going longer... Flurry at the beginning of a round, flurry at the end of a round, hope to steal it.
It's not a bad strategy.
There's certainly worse. It just annoys me. I mean, if we're talking Leonard in particular, because that robbed Marvin Hagler of what should have been a clear win.
Oh, big left hook there to the chin of Ryan Garcia from Luke Campbell.
Unfortunately for Campbell, Garcia's got a little bit of a better feel for the range at this point, so he's able to take some of the sting off of these. But Campbell's still game, still throwing.
Yep, he just scored another one to the body on Garcia.
Campbell's jab starting to show up more. When he's moving around, he's jabbing to try and keep Garcia from closing on him.
Well, that's what I talked about earlier. That's what I wanted him to do when we were talking the first couple of rounds of the fight was, you know...
There we go.
He's got to keep...
Stuff it close.
He's got to keep jabbing and moving. He can't sit there and fight in the phone booth with this guy. That's not a winning strategy. Oh!
No, but...
Big punch there from Luke Campbell. But I tell you what, he took a few from Ryan Garcia in that exchange.
Most of those from Garcia were blocked. I think Campbell got the better of that, actually. Close round. Might even have gone to Campbell. Oh, Canelo. Yeah, that was a closer round. Both men had a very clear argument for that. I'm not sure where I might actually lean Campbell. I think I don't know. That again, tough one. That one could go either way. But Campbell being willing to punch with Garcia, especially because Garcia again, he flurries. He's got a good flurry, but he's not very mindful of himself either during it or in the immediate aftermath. And if you can time some of that, that's a recipe for success. Again, Garcia also seems to be having to pace himself a little bit more, so if Campbell can kind of keep pushing, he might be able to get Garcia to keep drowning. But, again, not a given as we start the seventh. Both men working the lead hand. Always awkward to do that when you're in opposite stances. It's valuable if you can make it work, it's just difficult.
All right, and
Garcia tries to lean away from a combination. Partially successful, but again, Garcia not moving his feet. That's a real problem.
This late in the fight, we are in round 7 here, and they're still kind of patting at each other's gloves, which I don't love.
They're hand fighting. They're just trying to set stuff up. Little clash of heads there.
I guess my point is, you would think, I think a more seasoned veteran fighter at this point doesn't need to keep doing that in this half of the fight.
It depends on what you're trying to accomplish with it. If you're still trying to range find or whatnot, then yeah, that's not great. If you're hand fighting to try and trap or block or move around your opponent's guard, people do it all the time.
No, and I get that, but... I feel like Garcia could really push the pace here and get himself a TKO or a KO win. And, you know, so lay off the hand fighting and get in there and throw some combinations.
That's mostly, at this point, also a function of the opposite stances. You see that a lot more when you have southpaw orthodox. You just kind of have to deal with that lead hand for both guys in some fashion.
Also, I'd like to see, you know, Luke Campbell now not necessarily on his bicycle the way he was.
That hurt.
Like, he's working that jab pretty good, but I'm not loving the footwork on Campbell. I think I might be a little ahead of you,
yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that was the body shot knockdown.
That's it, we're done.
Oh, yep, that's it. They wave it off. All right. Well, and see, after all that, he got a shot to the body there, and down went Luke Campbell, and they waved it off. And we have an official KO in the 7th round at 1:58 for your new interim WBC lightweight champion Ryan Garcia.
Call him what he is. He's the glorified number one contender.
I'm going to call him what he is. The interim WBC lightweight champion.
Whereas we have Devin Haney, the WBC lightweight champion, and the super WBC lightweight champion is somebody else.
All right.
That's a really nice punch from Garcia there. He comes in pretty fast. That's a mistake. Campbell's guard comes really high, exposes the body, and he thinks that Garcia's coming high because Garcia's been headhunting. Not exclusively, but I think predominantly. A majority of his blows went high instead of to the body. But that's a defensive mistake on the part of Campbell. You don't need to bring everything up to avoid that hook. If you think it's coming high, get down behind your shoulders, duck low, and pivot out. You don't need to bring everything up and just go, hey, here's my liver on a plate.
All right, well, that wraps up our coverage of Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell, brought to you by DAZN here on January 2nd.
Hang on, I'm getting a replay of that. Man, Garcia's head, he just doesn't move it.
Well, you know, before I go into the next bit of this to wrap up for tonight, you saw the performance, and the low-hanging fruit is, well, the guy won, and he won in impressive fashion, a seventh-round knockout over a game opponent. But I think you and I, as we were calling it and being our critical selves, noticed that there are some holes in the man's game. So if you're managing Ryan Garcia and you don't want to necessarily feed him to clearly the better people in this division, what do you do? What A does Ryan Garcia need to do in the gym? And B, what do you do? Who do you fight next if you're Ryan Garcia?
Well, again, he is now the mandatory for Devin Haney. Sorry, we jumped a little bit ahead there. Okay, Garcia actually called out Gervonta Tank Davis. If I'm this kid's manager, I dissuade him of that notion quickly. look, I'm not saying Ryan Garcia doesn't have a very bright future. The man is clearly a star. He's clearly a lucrative property. And he's clearly got talent. Again, he's got fast hands. He's clearly got power. I think Gervonta Davis would steal this man's lunch. Like, he would beat him down, steal his lunch. If he's got a significant other, Gervonta would take them. Like, he would steal this whole man's life. Gervonta Davis has fought genuine world-class competition for a long time, and he has been handling them. Devin Haney is not a wouldn't be the worst option. He's a significant step up even from Luke Campbell. But you're the mandatory, so you could maybe see how far you can ride what's going on right now. If not, Jorge Linares is kind of hanging around out there. I don't know if he still wants to be in this weight class or not, that Linares in this instance. Or if he wants to maybe ply his trade up or down. But you'd probably need somebody at that level, not just someone who has fought for a world title, but maybe a former world champion at this point is more on the downside. If you want to fight one of the champions, if he's kind of set on that, Haney is of the... Again, you have three... You got multiple belts, but you have three, I think, recognized world champions right now at this weight class. You have Teofimo Lopez Jr., who you... If I'm Garcia, we stay away from Teofimo Lopez, who can not only power punch with you, but can outbox you. I mean, Lopez just beat Vasily Lomachenko, who's maybe the best pound-for-pound boxer of this generation. And you've got Gervonta Davis, who is also not only a great power puncher, but an exceptional technician. Those two at this point in time, based on what we have right now for evidence, are horrible matchups.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he doesn't necessarily go right for one of the belts. maybe he fights around a bit. I'm going to throw a name at you. It's a name that I like to throw around at you, and you roll your eyes at, so here's an opportunity for you to yell at me. But Shakur Stevenson wants to, I believe, leave featherweight and jump up to lightweight. What about that? I think the only problem there is Shakur is top rank.
That would be a problem. Part of the problem with boxing is the politics of who's with who, which fights can be made, and that's all part of, you know, negotiations that have to take place. You could maybe Stevenson, I guess. Stevenson much more in the Floyd Mayweather school of thought in terms of defense. And that is a bad matchup for Garcia, but you're not likely to get... you might get exposed on a technical level, but you're not likely to take a tremendous amount of physical abuse. So that's a viable thought. Again, you've got Linares, a former champion who had a bounce-back fight recently. Maybe you could do that. But if he wants to go for one of the major belts, if that's a complete sticking point for him, like, I want to fight for a recognized world title... Haney, of the available options, Haney makes the most sense. I still don't necessarily like his odds, but I like his odds against Haney more than against either Davis or Lopez by significant factors, like orders of magnitude.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of our show calling Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell. We've had a lot of fun, as always. Up next, got a lot of wrestling, not a tremendous amount of mainstream boxing for the next few weeks. For you boxing fans, we have a Showbox card Wednesday, January 20th. It's a 4-fight card. I believe it's being headlined by Patrick Cora versus Hershidbek Nurmatov. And... on January 22nd on ESPN Plus, we've got Kareem Guerfi versus Lee McGregor. Saturday, January 23rd, we have Angela Leo versus Stephen Fulton on Showtime. We also have a bare knuckle event in Thailand. That'll be on the bare knuckle fighting championships app. But
I fully expect everyone involved in that to be arrested in Thailand.
But for those of you MMA fans, that same night, and that's going to be some heavy competition.
Let's be clear: the big show for that night.
I was getting to it.
It's Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Yes. Everything else is a distant second.
UFC 257: Poirier versus McGregor. Moving on.
That's not the deepest card. I mean, look, you have. Depending on how seriously you take Khabib's retirement, if you believe he's retired, and I do, then Conor McGregor is the biggest star in the sport. His rematch with Poirier, that's a great fight. The only downside, at the moment, that card doesn't even, as it's currently announced, I don't think we have our co-main event settled yet. There's been some rumors about... was the rumored fight? I think they had talked about Chandler and somebody as potentially the co-main for that card. Your big fear for that card is that something happens to either Poirier or McGregor. I bring that up just because you don't really have a ready-made secondary fight that, while not as good, could still sell a pay-per-view. Or even someone else in the same division who could potentially step into the main event to fill out the other half of it. In the era of COVID, and just because we decided to acknowledge a new year based on the calendar system we employ, does not mean that the pandemic went away.
It's not over, but we have vaccines.
No, it magically goes away when Joe Biden is sworn into office, remember?
Right.
Look, for the record, that is a horrible, sarcastic shot at both sides of the aisle. Be that the people who think that the pandemic is some kind of farce, or the idiots who think Joe Biden is some kind of savior, or that the office of the presidency actually has authority over the way the country functions in so many ways. But America is a country full of a lot of very, very odd people.
So yes, the big fight of January 23rd is the UFC fight. But if you're into saving money and you have Showtime, you have that available to you as well.
To be fair to the boxing event, it's not a bad fight.
January 30th is when all the fights are happening. On Fox Primetime, you have Caleb Plant versus Caleb Trua.
If Caleb Plant wins and looks good, very, very well could be the next fight for Canelo Alvarez. If Canelo is serious about unifying all the belts at 168, Plant's the last guy. He's the last man standing.
That fight may come later in the year. In February, he's supposed to fight... I have the name somewhere. Next table. Canelo versus Avni Yildirim on February 27th is what they're looking at.
That's a keep busy fight. Now, I don't mean that as some huge disrespect to Yildirim, but...
I think he's a mandatory for one of the belts. Anyway, January 30th is when all the fights happen. We have Caleb Plant on Fox. We have Josh Kelly versus David Avanesyan on DAZN. We have another fight on DAZN. We have Kovalev versus Malik Kuziev. And then hopefully on Fight. They caught the last one on Fight. Hopefully this will be two. Glory 77 Rico versus Jamal, which is a heavyweight kickboxing match. There was supposed to be another fight on ESPN, but one of them got the COVID, so that's been delayed. And that is your fight calendar as I know it for the month of January. So... depending on what happened, I don't think you have anything on January 30th, do you? Do you have any UFC events?
Let me check.
Because if not, then we'll probably bring you the Caleb Plant fight on Fox.
Apparently I do not. Well, the UFC's got a weird schedule for January. They're off until the 16th. But then they have one the 16th, Wednesday the 20th, and then January 23rd for McGregor-Poirier.
All right, so more than likely, myself and Robert Winfrey will bring you the Caleb Plant fight on Fox. And maybe just for shits and giggles, at a later date, we can even bring you that heavyweight fight from Glory 77. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
I tend not. Look, I respect what Rico Verhoeven has done over his career. He's pretty clearly on the downside.
You don't think that's going to be a good fight?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to watch Rico Verhoeven, because Rico Verhoeven is historically a very, very good fighter, sure, I don't blame you.
In the meantime, it is the month of January. It's a whole new year, and a whole new year of podcasting brings new podcasts. So we've got... starting up January 4th, you've got Red Sonja and Vampirella meet Betty and Veronica, The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse, Part 1, and His Dark Materials, Season 2, coming to you this week. Last week, we had Wonder Woman Come Back to Me. We had the review of Wonder Woman 1984, Soul. Myself and Jesse Starcher did our year in review show, plus we talked about Clutch Live from the Doom Saloon, Volume 3. And I think that's it. I think that was all we did. that was it. So thank you, Robert Winfrey. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our alternative commentary for Ryan Garcia versus Luke Campbell. We'll see you soon. Until then, be well, be safe, and behave.